This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Imagine a country where giving a silent prayer of thanks to God costs you your job. Well, you don't have to stretch your imagination too far. That country is the United States. Joe Kennedy, an assistant football coach for a Washington State high school, kneeled on the 50-yard line after each game and the players left the field. He would then offer a silent prayer of thanksgiving. After 7 years of this ritual, the high school decided that Coach Kennedy's action was potentially harmful, even though no complaints had been made against him. They ordered the coach to stop praying. Coach Kennedy refused, stating that the school had no right to demand that of him. The school then fired him. Coach Kennedy wants his job back and the right to pray reaffirmed. The First Liberty Institute came to his aid and filed suit on Kennedy's behalf. First Liberty attorney Cleve Doty is my guest today on World Lutheran News Digest.
And now today's Fast Track.
I'm Sarah Golseth with news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Representatives of four Lutheran church bodies signed an agreement in Odessa, Ukraine on August 12th, pledging closer collaboration with one another and setting the stage for possible deeper cooperation in the future. The German Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ukraine, the Synod of Evangelical Lutheran Churches of Ukraine, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the Lutheran Church Canada signed the protocol following 2 days of meetings. The Obama administration was barred by a judge from enforcing a directive that U.S. public schools allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms according to their gender identity. On Sunday, the judge sided with Texas and 12 other states that argued the administration's policy usurps local control and threatens students' safety and privacy. A federal judge on Thursday definitively blocked a Florida abortion law to prevent state funds from going to organizations that provide abortions after the administration of Governor Rick Scott made the unusual decision to drop further legal action. A North Carolina pregnancy center filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Raleigh that challenges its decision to prohibit the center from operating next door to an abortion clinic. The pro-life group obtained zoning approval in May from Raleigh's Planning Commission and Citizen Advisory Council to use it for a not-for-profit pregnancy help center. However, the Raleigh City Council unanimously voted to deny Hand of Hope's zoning approval request, with council member Kay Crowder saying the property should be rezoned later as part of a larger commercial project. A woman is suing a Roman Catholic school in New Jersey, alleging the school violated the state's discrimination law when she was fired because she's married to a woman. But an attorney for Paramus Catholic High School on Friday will ask a judge to dismiss Kate Drumgoogle's suit. In court papers, the lawyer argues Drumgoogle was dismissed for failing to abide by the tenets of the faith when she entered into a same-sex marriage and not because of her sexual orientation.
World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. My guest today is Mr. Cleve Doty, who's an attorney with the First Liberty Group. Mr. Doty, could you tell me a bit about yourself and about First Liberty?
Yes, so I'm an attorney with First Liberty, and we handle religious freedom cases across the nation. My personal background is clerk for the Texas Supreme Court and then was in private practice doing commercial litigation for a number of years before coming over and deciding to do First Amendment and freedom of religion litigation. And Coach Kennedy's case, we filed suit against Bremerton School District and are hopeful that we're seeking his job back, that the school will agree with us that it's okay to say a brief, quiet prayer.
Well, let's go back a little bit here and discuss actually what happened with Coach Kennedy. My understanding is that he is a devout Christian, Marine Corps veteran, and is coaching a successful football team at Bremerton High School. And since 2008, after the game and after the teams and the students had cleared the field, he would kneel on the 50-yard line and say a silent prayer. And this went on for a number of years without any complaints. Then suddenly, the Bremerton School District says, oh, you can't do that. Then he was suspended when he refused and then was eventually fired, or at least his contract not renewed. Is that actually what happened?
That is exactly what happened. In fact, Coach has been very willing to work with the school district on anything else they've asked for, even regarding religion. So when Coach arrived, the coaches were actually doing prayers at one point with the team, and the school said, no, you can't do that. And he said, oh, okay, of course not. You know, I'll do what you want. But when they finally came to Coach, and Coach had made a promise to God, I'll say a little quiet prayer on my own after the game, and the school said, no, you can't do that. Coach finally had to draw a line and say, well, that's the last freedom I have left that I'm exercising here, and that somewhere at some point I have to draw the line and say, no, I have to take a stand for something, and this is it. Because if you can't have a brief, quiet prayer, it's not clear what religious expression or any public religious expression at all that you could have at the school.
And my understanding is that he went through the proper channels. He went to the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, and they gave him the go-ahead to sue. Is that correct?
That's correct. So you have to go through the EEOC in order to be able to bring a lawsuit at all. We went through the EEOC, and now we've proceeded to the trial court, which will actually hear the suit.
And he is not asking for any compensation from the school district. He simply wants his job back after the suspension.
Correct. Coach wants to coach. Coach is not in this for the money. He really just wants to coach. This is his passion. He loves doing it, loves being with the guys, and it kills him that he can't be with them right now. And all we're seeking is a job back.
Now, wasn't there also maybe some selective enforcement here? Because I understand there was also another football coach who had performed the Buddhist chant at the 50-yard line after games, and he was never punished.
Correct. And Bremerton is actually, so demographically, it's a very non-religious place. So you have this Buddhist coach, and coach wants everybody's rights to be protected, and that isn't seen as an issue. So it's unclear why a Christian prayer would be seen as an issue either. And frankly, neither of them should be. This should be easy. We should allow everyone to have basic freedom.
One thing I think that this case is highlighting is there is right now a debate, I think, in the political scene of what constitutes freedom of religion and what constitutes freedom of worship. They're two completely separate concepts. And I think this is perhaps part of what we're seeing. Could you comment on that, sir?
Absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely correct. So the Constitution guarantees freedom of religion. The founders guaranteed freedom of religion. In fact, in the Constitution, it calls it free exercise of religion. In other words, you're out doing things. But we've seen certain political candidates and newspapers, a few of them, call for what's called freedom of worship, which to you and me, that's the kind of thing they have in communist China, Soviet Russia. It's you stay inside your church. No religion in public, as long as you don't speak about God or pray or do anything outside of your little church over there, will allow your little church to sit there. What's meant by freedom of worship, it's actually a very dangerous concept.
That was actually the direct wording, I believe, from the original Soviet Constitution under Joseph Stalin. That said, oh yeah, we're not going to touch churches. You can worship in the church, but do not take your worship outside of the church body. Can't even bring kids in for Sunday school.
Yeah. Right. And the assumption behind that is religion's actually dangerous. So we're going to have to cabinet you to this little building, and we might allow that building to stay, but we can't have any religion out in public actually influencing people to do good, because that's dangerous to our notion of what good is.
Also, I think the school district said that if Coach Kennedy prayed after the games, even quietly and alone, he could be disciplined, basically because they might be intimidating students who think that they need to participate in this or perhaps be punished.
Right. So the school has argued that they don't want religion in public. It's a little unclear why that is, because Coach has actually never invited students to come to prayers. Coach, the very last game, the one he was terminated for, Coach walked off on his own by himself to say his prayer, and the other team actually joined Coach. Spontaneously, he hadn't invited anyone, but they showed up and prayed, or were there when he said his little short prayer. But his own team wasn't even present. And so it's unclear why the school is so concerned about this, unless they're just anti-religious.
And also, I understand there had never been a complaint against him for this.
Correct. There was actually a praise that led to this whole situation. I said, man, that's really nice. This coach is over there saying his little prayer, and that caused things to become a controversy. But no, there hasn't been a complaint.
Now, was this was an issue by the decision by the school board, the Bremerton School Board, that was this debated in an open meeting? How did they come by this decision? Do we know?
It was. They received legal advice about it. And so we see this a lot where school districts will receive legal advice from folks who don't really practice in this area, aren't as familiar with the rules in this area, and then end up getting school districts into trouble and they end up losing cases because there are really a lot of easy solutions to this. This one, for instance, just allow the coach to have his little quiet prayer. And this isn't even a controversy. And this is pretty clearly established under First Amendment principles all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which has said teachers and both students and teachers don't surrender their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate. It's been established for decades now that this type of activity is perfectly okay.
It's incredible to me that this is actually going on. One of the things I had heard was that the attorneys for the school district itself said, yeah, there's really no problem here, but somebody might sue in the future. Therefore, we think that Kennedy should be shut up. Is that how that handled it?
That is. In fact, we see a lot of this. In fact, nationally, this is a great question. It's a national problem. We have a deficit of courage. So you'll see people who will threaten to sue school districts or harass school districts and say, we can't have religion because they don't like religion. And then the school districts and school officials will often back down, even though they're backing down on people's constitutional rights and trying to shut people up and silence people in exercising the rights that they do have, that they have had for centuries. And so it's really disappointing to see so much lack of courage in society, all over society, especially in school leadership and places like that, where this isn't a controversy. 99 times out of 100 times, when you see something like that, where there's a threat of a suit against a school here, I don't even think they've received a threat, but let's say they assume they had, nobody's going to sue the school because it's a losing case, and they'll never win. And so that's why these people threaten. They try to bully school districts, and school districts, unfortunately, are sending the signal, yeah, we'll be bullied. We'll just roll over. So it's really sad, and we end up fighting a lot of those fights.
What can we do out here in the public to help reverse this trend?
Number one, pray and just bring attention to matters like this. And number two, please keep updated, keep up to speed. Check us out at firstliberty.org so that you're on the front lines and can see these things as they happen. And continue to support free exercise and encourage people to have courage when they get a threat. Contact us. I mean, that's something we can deal with and we do deal with every day and can assist with. I mean, just we encourage people to stand up and exercise your rights, and don't be afraid to do that, because 9 times out of 10, when you exercise your rights, you're going to be okay.
And usually, I think, just getting the letter, you know, mailing the letter from an organization like yours saying, you're violating the rights here, we really don't want to force the issue, but you really should let this go. 9 times out of 10, as you said, that'll resolve the issue right there, is simply a letter of clarification from First Liberty or a similar organization.
Absolutely. We do that all the time. And in fact, you'll notice, it's funny, you notice the letters that we see that are sent to threaten other school districts. They're on a lawyer's letterhead, and they'll say legal things, but they don't actually threaten a lawsuit half the time, because if they did, then you could fight back much more easily. So, I mean, they get these scary letters, and people read them and think, oh my gosh, a lawyer sent me something. But most of the time, those threats are not even real.
It's simply saying, well, gee, I don't approve of this, therefore. And there's the implied threat on the attorney's letterhead, as you pointed out.
Exactly.
The lawsuit that you filed on August the 9th, I believe it was, what is the procedure now? How will this go?
So the first thing that will happen, I mean, this will proceed through like a normal trial, but the first thing that will happen is the school district will file a response in the next couple of weeks. And then we'll proceed to the court, and the court will begin conducting, there's probably some preliminary things, and then a hearing, and then it's off to the races in terms of determining what should happen. I would expect it will move fairly quickly, because there really isn't a whole lot that's contested here. The school agrees with us that all we're really talking about is this fleeting prayer of the coaches, So it shouldn't require a lot of extensive hearings and litigation to ascertain whether or not that's constitutional for the court.
Well, they may well try.
Yeah.
What is Coach Kennedy doing now that he's not working with the school district?
Coach actually works. He actually has another job that he has had for a number of years, and he's been doing coaching just because he has a heart for coaching. And he's continuing with that position right now, and that's really his day-to-day job. So,
but he really wants to get back with the kids and get back on the field with them.
Absolutely.
And Bremerton had a pretty good high school team, as I recall.
That is my understanding as well.
So he must have been doing something right with the kids.
He has been it has been amazing, the outpouring of support for Coach, both from religious voices and from secular voices. Everybody realizes, wow, this guy's, he believes in something. It's something pretty standard, and he's actually standing up for it. And that's the kind of guy you want leading young men onto the field, to say, look, this is important. I care about it. I'm going to stand up for it and change the world. So, or in his case, preserve the freedoms we already have. So, it's been a great role model example to the kids, and we've heard a lot of positive feedback from parents. It's been overwhelming, the amount of support he's received.
Well, that's the next question I wanted to ask, is if you could discuss a little bit some of the support that he has received. Who's coming out in favor of him?
Oh, we've seen. I mean, he has a number of parents of current students, former students. I mean, the folks you might expect. But we've even seen, Seattle Times and other newspapers publish articles in support of Coach Kennedy, including places that aren't exactly pro-religious, but realize, wow, this is a guy standing up for a principle. It's a fairly harmless principle that he should be able to pray on his own in private or in quietly without asking the students to join. Nobody has a problem with that, with people being religious in society. And as a result, he's seen tremendous support from just about everyone in this situation.
You mentioned the Seattle Times, which is, as you pointed out, that area is not especially friendly to religion. And I don't think that newspaper is either. It's good to see that they're standing up for this particular right, though.
Exactly. It's encouraging. It's fantastic when we see people who, religious or not religious, realize, hey, this is important to people. This is important freedom, and it helps support our other freedoms. So one of the key things about freedom of religion, and the main thing about it, is we're encouraging private citizens. Religion is encouraging private citizens to do good in their own communities, in their own families and networks and groups. And we want to encourage that as a society. We don't want to have more police and more prisons. I'd much rather have more churches, whatever kind they may be, so that we have more people privately professing and arguing for and teaching and encouraging good.
Well, one of the arguments I think that the school district made was that it could be seen as an endorsement of Christianity. But I think the letter that you wrote to the school board said, no reasonable observer could conclude that a football coach who waits until the game is over and the players have left the field, then walks to midfield to say a short private personal prayer, is speaking on behalf of the state. It boggles my mind that someone could possibly see this as a state endorsement of anything.
Right. The school's position really doesn't make sense. It's that if anything happens in public that's religious, it's automatically the school establishing a religion. So keep in mind, the Constitution prohibits the government from establishing an official religion. And so they're trying to say that one coach saying one private personal prayer at the side of the field after the game is somehow establishing the religion for the entire school district for all time, which is crazy, but that's the position. But the same thing would apply to any other religious display. So, the Buddhist coach giving his little chant, the Muslim coach coming in and wearing Muslim garb. I mean, it really doesn't matter what it is. The school seems to be saying, we'll prohibit all of it.
What really is at stake here? I mean, the First Liberty is really in the trenches when it comes to attacks on religion and other freedoms that we are seeing. Has First Liberty seen an uptick in these types of cases? I know there's a perception in the public that perhaps there has been an active campaign, or at least an increasing campaign, against people of faith. Are you seeing this from First Liberty's point of view?
Absolutely. In fact, you can see firstliberty.org, just see the types of things we're working on right now. And half or two-thirds of them are cases where if you interviewed me 10 years ago, I would say, oh, we don't expect that to happen, at least not yet. And now we're fighting those fights. It's things that when you and I were growing up, we never would have thought would be a court case. or dispute. And this is a great example. That's why this case is so important, is because if you can't have a simple quiet prayer after a football game or quiet prayer somewhere as a religious person at your workplace, then how much freedom can you have, period? I mean, it tests the entire principle. So if you can't have this private prayer, you can't have other religious displays. I mean, can you wear a cross? That seems like a public expression of religion. Can you wear, a yarmulke? Whatever it is, it seems like the school is saying, we're going to ban it all.
That could be an interesting thing. I mean, St. Louis, where I'm based, is very much of a mixed community. I go to the local grocery store, and I'll see people bearing, who wear crosses. I'll see women in chadors. I'll see traditional Jewish yarmulkes and their garb as well, which clearly mark them with a specific religion. And people are somehow threatened by this. I'm personally encouraged to see all of these groups together expressing their faith and getting along.
Absolutely. In fact, that's the one encouraging thing. So as we're fighting these battles we never thought we'd have to fight, we're here for religious freedom for everyone. We believe that freedom is good for all and that we can all have religious freedom, have our own religions, and we can disagree about it. And that's fine. People are mature enough to get along despite disagreements about religion, and that's how American society has functioned for generations since the founding. And we've had openness when it comes to religion, and we haven't banished religion, which is what we're seeing authorities now try to do. And so we'd much rather have that kind of diversity. And the encouraging thing is we're seeing all of these different religious groups, denominations within Protestant Christianity or non-Protestant Christianity, but you're seeing even other religions come together and unite. I mean, I remember an instance last year where I had a Christian mint client, potential client, introduced me to a Jewish potential client who really wanted to introduce me to this Muslim client who he didn't really get along with but knew would agree on this thing and that they could all get together and work together on it. It was fantastic.
That's a wonderful thing to hear. Yeah, I don't understand the argument that religion is bad. It's something that society is based on. You know, where people will say, well, the U.S. is not a Christian country. Well, our government is not. Our government is secular. But certainly the people are overwhelmingly religious, and I think it's true in virtually every country in the world. Some religions are perhaps not what we would like, but this is how society is built. And I don't see how people can deny that. I have a cousin who's an atheist, and I had argued with her that, her points of view, whether what is moral, like you can't kill, things like that, basically stem from a religious point of view. And she said, no. Well, that came from philosophers. Well, the philosophers were also based on religion one way or the other, whether it was Aristotle or even Freud, who knows? And they just don't quite see that argument.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're having to re-educate people on the basics of religion and the impact it's had. I mean, think of just the impact religion, Christianity in particular, has had on the concept of human rights over the course of the last three or four centuries. I mean, look at the way we treat children today versus the way we treated them 200 years ago, where they might be in slave labor, or they might be in a mine all day, or whatever else, a factory. We don't do that anymore. It's not right. It's not right for kids. And it's largely because of religious influences and groups in society pressuring to treat people better, that humans all have dignity and we need to respect that and we need to treat them better.
Well, the anti-slavery movement was based in Christianity, and that was what was opposing. That was what really toppled slavery.
Absolutely. In fact, I was recently writing a piece to a legislature to advise them on it, and they were asking about religious societies. I said, look, some of the early abolitionists were in these groups called religious societies, and now we've lost that knowledge. People forget, people don't learn that some of those groups were the ones that began pushing for anti-slavery movements.
I'd like you to tell the audience a little bit more about First Liberty, about the cases that you're involved in. And I understand that a lot of them are on your website. Could you expand on that a bit?
Sure. So First Liberty, we fight for religious freedom for all. So it's all different religious groups. And our goal is to defend and protect religious freedom in America. Right now, some of the cases are defensive, but we're also looking to expand religious freedom in America so that everyone can go about their day and exercise their faith in the way they see fit without worrying about government interference. So the majority of what we do is actually taking action against governments who've made poor decisions and tried to stop someone from exercising their religion in one way or another. And so that's really the impetus for all of our cases, or most of our cases, is fighting for your religion in the workplace. So we divide it up into a few different domains, but we do the military, we do churches, at schools, and then in the public arena, which is the workplace, the street preacher calling us from the jail. I mean, it's everything else that you might imagine you would be doing something in a religious nature.
And so people who are facing some kind of persecution because of their faith, you encourage them to get in touch with First Liberty and see if there's something that can be done.
Absolutely. And in fact, one fact to keep in mind is that 90%, 95% of the cases and the inquiries we get never show up on our website. No, far more than that never show up. And even of the ones we're able to help with, we resolve those. We're able to resolve those without ever going to a courthouse. So when you see a case like Coach Kennedy's, where we're fighting against Bremerton School District, this is the 1% of people who really were stubborn enough to have a fight that they shouldn't be fighting, because we expect to prevail.
Well, Mr. Doty, I want to thank you very much for taking the time, and I want to thank your organization for fighting for Coach Kennedy and for the rest of us.
Thank you. We appreciate you as well.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.